Welcome to the Brain Tumor Podcast with Dr. David Walker. The aim of this podcast is to educate and inform. The information in this podcast is general in nature and is not a substitute for medical advice from your own doctors.
Hello, everyone. I want to thank you all for your support of this podcast. It's been really encouraging. Today, I wanted to talk about metastatic brain tumors. And in fact, metastatic brain tumors are the commonest type of brain tumor, particularly the commonest type of malignant tumor. A metastatic tumor is something that's spread from elsewhere in the body, and it can spread to the brain via the bloodstream, which is the usual way, but sometimes they can spread by other means, including via the CSF. But bloodstream spread is the most common. And so by definition, a metastatic brain tumor is one that grows in or affecting the brain, and it's spread from a primary source elsewhere in the body. Most of the time, the primary source has been identified previously, and the patient often been treated for that primary tumor or cancer. But sometimes a person will present with a brain tumor and it's metastatic, and it's either the first presentation of that person's disease, and sometimes even the primary source is never discovered. So that's the definition of a metastatic brain tumor. Within the brain, the most common site is in the cerebrum, which is the big part of the brain, so-called supratentorial compartment. And of the cerebrum, the commonest site is the frontal lobe. And the only reason for that is that the frontal lobe is the largest lobe in the brain. But metastatic tumors can occur anywhere. They can be singular or multiple. Sometimes tumors are very small, sometimes they can be very large. Metastatic brain tumors can occur in the cerebellum as well, which is the back part of the brain, and also within the brain stem. And metastatic tumors can also affect nearby structures, such as the pituitary gland or the dura or the membrane around the brain or even the skull, and then affect the brain. So metastatic tumors can also affect the brain either directly or indirectly. Metastatic brain tumors also can occasionally grow along nerves, particularly from skin cancers around the head and neck area, and spread via the nerves intracranially. Usually they don't cause a singular mass, but they can affect the nerves within the brain or very close to the brain. Metastatic tumors that affect the cerebellum, and sometimes that's the only site, are a little bit less common for a number of reasons, but occasionally they occur within the cerebellum only, and can impact on both the presentation but also the likelihood of where the primary site might be. Now let's talk about where these tumors come from. Well, metastatic brain tumors can come from any cancer in the body, but as you might expect, the common cancers are the commonest source of brain metastatic disease. With one exception, and that being prostate cancer. Prostate cancer itself very rarely affects the brain itself. It can affect the skull and commonly affects the spine and hence sometimes the spinal cord. But metastatic prostate cancer does not usually spread to the brain itself. So the commonest metastatic brain cancers are those that arise from breast cancer, lung cancer, or melanoma. Less common are adenocarcinomas from gut tumors such as the colon, germ cell tumors from testes, say, or ovaries. But the commonest three, at least in our community in Australia, are lung, breast, and melanoma. They can be singular, as I mentioned, or multiple. It's in the case of a multiple metastases, they're often one or two larger ones, and one's often causing some clinical features and the others are not causing any problems. And if that's the case, then it may be that the larger one gets treated one way and the others get treated another way, and I'll get on to treatment in a second. The clinical features of metastatic brain tumours are those of any other mass within the brain, or particularly brain tumour, and I mentioned these in another episode, but basically they come down to neurological deficit, that is, if it affects a certain part of the brain that controls a certain function, then that function may be affected. For instance, if the tumour is in or near the motor area on one side of the brain, say the right side, it can cause left-sided weakness. So that's one way, that's neurological deficit. The second way a metastatic brain tumour may cause clinical problems is via raised intracranial pressure. So if the tumour is large or the swelling around it is significant, then they causes pressure within the skull and symptoms of raised pressure, that being headaches and sometimes drowsiness and vomiting. A third way a metastatic brain tumour may present is seizures. And finally, and this is more and more the case these days with extensive investigations that cancer patients often undergo, that they may be incidental findings, so that a person being worked up for investigation and treatment of another cancer is discovered to have intracranial disease, whether it be one or multiple tumours. Investigations include the normal ones that I mentioned before in another episode, but basically they come down to an MRI scan or a CT scan, often initially, and an MRI scan. And metastatic tumours have characteristic appearances that can often help differentiate them from primary tumours, particularly primary gliomas. Metastatic tumours tend to be well circumscribed so that they don't have an irregular surface and don't appear, at least on scans, to invade the surrounding brain. They can be associated with significant amount of swelling or edema around them, so the mass effect that they produce is often out of proportion to the actual size of the tumour or the volume of the tumour itself. And within the centre part of the tumour, there's often a necrotic zone. So its characteristic finding is that the tumours are ring enhancing, so that the tumour is alive on the outside. So when a person's given contrast, that outside area lights up. But the centre part of the tumour, having outgrown its blood supply, is often necrotic, or has it died off, and so it's dark. So that's a characteristic of metastatic tumours, metastatic brain tumours, which can also be the case in primary tumours, in fact often is in GBMs, but they do tend to look a little bit different than metastatic tumours. One entity that is often or can be confused with a metastatic brain tumour is an abscess, and it's obviously important to differentiate a cancer from an infection, but abscesses can look similar to metastatic tumours. They tend to have a more defined or smooth wall and a larger central necrotic cavity, but occasionally it can be difficult to differentiate them. There are some subtle changes on an MRI, particularly MR spectroscopy, that can help us differentiate between an abscess and a metastatic tumour. And of course, the clinical history of the person, whether they've had a history of cancer or they have a known infection, for instance, that can help differentiate. The location can sometimes be helpful. Some abscesses are more common in the temporal lobe, particularly if they've arisen from middle ear infections, or the frontal lobe if they've come from the frontal sinus. So there are some helpful hints as to the diagnosis based on MRI scan. In terms of management, often the initial management is medical, because the person will have presented with some clinical features, as I mentioned above, and then there's a lot of swelling around these tumours. And if the patient is started on dexamethasone, which is an oral steroid medication, that can reduce the swelling around tumours, or the effect of swelling around tumours, quite significantly, even within hours, so that the person's symptoms are significantly improved. So that's normally the first step. If there's a significant mass effect from the tumour, then the decision may well be to consider surgical treatment, particularly if the tumour is single, or there's one particularly large tumour that's causing significant effects, then that tumour is often amenable to resection, so surgical removal, and that's often the best first step. Surgery also has a role in treatment of hydrocephalus, which can be related to brain tumours. And those hydrocephalus is particularly an issue if there are tumours within the cerebellum, because those tumours can cause blockage of the normal brain fluid flow, and therefore a build-up of CSF or brain fluid. And it may be that the first step in management is to manage that hydrocephalus before doing anything with the tumours. Sometimes it's a debate whether we just take the tumours out and that treats the hydrocephalus, but occasionally we do treat the hydrocephalus firstly, either with a shunt, a drain, or another treatment or surgical operation called a ventriculostomy. But nonetheless, that's sometimes a consideration. So once the patient is stabilised and the big tumour, if it's causing a problem, is removed or dealt with, then it's very likely that the person will be a candidate for radiation treatment after that. If the person has just been treated for a single metastatic tumour, radiation to that area is mostly what's been given. Occasionally, whole brain radiation therapy is considered. It depends on the type of tumour, the person, and their overall prognosis. And if there's multiple tumours, then occasionally further surgery is planned for. But more and more these days, radiation is the primary or the main treatment for those other tumours. And particularly stereotactic radiation therapy can be very effective, even treating multiple intracranial tumours. I've seen patients with 6, 12 or so tumours patients over time being treated with this modality and having a very good outcome. Chemotherapy is sometimes considered, but often chemotherapy for metastatic tumors doesn't get across to the brain itself. There's the agents that are useful don't often cross the blood-brain barrier. So chemotherapy may be effective for disease outside the brain, but may not be for tumors that have spread to the brain. But it's certainly a consideration, and part of the team decision on management almost always involves a medical oncologist as well as the surgeon and the radiation oncologist. Now, a little bit about prognosis. And it's obviously, it should be clear that a person who's had cancer and it spread to the brain, then their outlook is not usually very good. And I'm afraid that's very likely to be the case. However, it's not always the case. And sometimes surgery with radiation can be very effective in providing long-term disease control and even cure. I've seen patients having been treated for metastatic brain disease, whether it be, say, from a melanoma or even breast cancer, having that tumor or tumors effectively treated, and then having many, many years of disease-free survival after that. So it's not a forlorn hope when we embark upon treatment for people with metastatic brain disease, but I'm afraid a lot of the times it is a palliative situation. So I've covered what metastatic brain tumors are, where they're likely to have arisen from, how they affect the patient, investigations and management. I'll just touch on one unusual situation is that sometimes brain tumors that are clearly metastatic by their multiple nature and their appearance and the histology when the tumor's been removed, sometimes we don't find where the source is. So presumably the cancer originally is very small and may have even stopped growing, say from the lung, a very small tumor there, or a melanoma, say, and then the primary tumor is no longer evident after the person is presented with a metastatic tumor. So that's an unusual situation, but worth mentioning. I then touched on the prognosis. So I hope that gives you some idea about metastatic brain tumors. It is a big subject with a lot of nuances, and so what I've discussed before in this episode may not apply to an individual situation. But thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Brain Tumor Podcast with Dr. David Walker. Stay tuned for more episodes, and don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. The information in this podcast is general in nature and is not a substitute for the medical advice you get from your own doctors. Dr. David Walker is not able to provide specific information or advice related to your condition or any individual's condition in this podcast. But if you do have suggestions or feedback, send David an email to professordavidwalker@brisbrain.com.au.